Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Walker and Ray. And Steve Jordahl now is in with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Comments at AFR.net is our email address, comments at AFR.net. So, Wesley Wildman, Ed Vitagliano, and Brian Fisher going to be in concert tonight in Fayetteville, North Carolina, for those who listen and within driving distance of there. Is that right, Walker?
That's correct. Ed, Wesley, Brian will be in Fayetteville, North Carolina tonight at 6:30 p.m., the location is the Doubletree Hotel in Fayetteville, and you will need to register today.
It's free. It's free, but we need to know how many people are coming.
That's right. And so here's the link.
There's still time to register?
To register, afa.net/Fayetteville, afa.net/Fayetteville, in order to register and find out more information.
Okay, that's this evening, 6:30 p.m. in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Ed Vitagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Brian Fisher. Yes, Steve.
Wildman, Fisher, and Vitagliano, is that the second coming of
Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought.
So
yeah.
is Ed gonna be singing tonight?
Well, Lord,
we hope not.
Yes, I would say, Lord, that
you did
not
say
happen.
In concert.
I did say in concert. I'll tell you what. To be honest with you, it would be worth a comedic value to go to this and watch Ed and Brian and Wesley try to sing as a trio.
You could put Ed in the room outside and drive people into the room.
That's a good thought.
Put Ed outside.
You put Ed in the room outside, leading into the room,
letting him start singing.
Everybody would hurry on in.
Yeah. Well, they are going to be speaking. They're very good speakers, and they look forward to engaging and talking to and visiting with our supporters / listeners in that part of the country, Fayetteville, NC. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, what do you got, brother?
Let's bring in some details in this Netanyahu thing. I know you guys talked about it a little bit yesterday, and we don't have to camp on this at all, but he's being charged, he's being indicted on three different charges, three different cases.
Mm-hmm.
One is providing some concessions to shareholders of a media company in exchange for favorable coverage. He's being charged with, or he's being indicted for bribery and breach of trust. He's being alleged to have accepted gifts from a wealthy business figure. He's being in charge with fraud and breach of trust. And then the third case is between another media company. It was a deal between him and another minister for coverage in return for damaging a competitor. So, yeah, that's breach of trust and fraud. So
sounds like Washington, D.C. right
it
there.
It does.
Sorry, I didn't
it?
Mean to say that.
Well, so just the details.
Just another day in Washington.
Some people are interested in that kind of stuff.
Well, we're not, so
no,
go ahead.
That's okay. I wanted to return to the Cohen hearing just for one brief minute.
Oh, please do.
Well, there was something that happened at this hearing yesterday that got a little bit of news coverage, but it didn't have really anything to do with Cohen directly.
Okay.
So, as you remember, Michael Cohen was charging that Donald Trump was a racist and hated black people and all foreigners and everything.
And that's the first time we've heard that.
Right. Well, Mark Meadows has a staffer on his staff who was a former Trump employee of some authority, pretty high up, fairly high in the organization. She's a black woman. And Mark Meadows brought her into the chamber. She stood behind him, and he said, "This is," and he introduced the woman. And he says, "This is proof that President Trump is not racist. He's willing to hire and promote and honor these black people." Well, Rashida Tlaib, the freshman congresswoman from Minnesota, who is one of the fearsome three, I guess, that are the new all the thing in the Congress, she almost had the vapors in the middle of this. I want you to hear this interchange between Rashida Tlaib and Mark Meadows that happened yesterday.
Just because someone has a person of color, a black person working for them, does not mean they aren't racist. And it is insensitive that some would even say, the fact that someone would actually use a prop, a black woman, in this chamber, in this committee, is alone racist in itself. Donald Trump is setting
Mr. Chairman, I ask that her words
Donald
be
Trump
taken down.
It's racist to suggest that I ask her to come in here for that reason.
No, Mr. Chairman, I do not call Mr. Meadows a racist. No, I am trying, as a person of color, Mr. Chairman, just to express myself and how I felt at that moment.
How she felt at that moment, all about the feelings.
Well, I didn't see that, but...
it was a little remarkable.
The woman, the African-American woman, works for Congressman...
Mark Meadows
from North Carolina. Okay.
So now Republicans can't even have black people who work on their staff.
They certainly can't use it to prove or promote that you can't say that President Trump is not a racist.
You can't win.
No.
You can't win with these people you're either, if you don't have any African American people testify, then that proves you're racist.
You're racist.
If you do, that they're a prop.
Yeah, then right. You're using
so you're racist.
Then you're racist.
Right.
Yeah, so I tell you, with President Trump and the racism charges, you know, he was in the public limelight for decades. You know what I'm saying? In liberal New York City, he had a huge company, interacted with people day and night, all the time. You would have thought... You know, that if he was a rank racist like they say he is, like these, not all of them, but, well, almost all the left says he is, you would think there would be more evidence to support that than they bring out. A lot of the things that the few examples that people use to say that he is, to me, are not blatant, and they're like the Charlottesville thing. There may be something that was said poorly.
Maybe.
But they don't prove that a man is a racist in his heart or by his hiring practices or is by associations.
And their standard, their bar that they use to measure for racism is so broad that basically anybody who doesn't agree with them is a racist.
That's right.
So it really invalidates their whole argument.
It's one of the biggest bombs you can throw at somebody, I guess, in public. It's
called
them racist.
Been abused.
With President Trump, it's almost like, okay, you say I'm a racist. What's your next question? Because, I mean, it's like every day.
Yeah.
They say this about everything, every day, and it almost loses its impact.
You know, Tim, you put your finger on the basic hypocrisy of the liberal media in New York City. They loved him when he was building those buildings. They loved him when he was doing Celebrity Apprentice, right? You never heard any of that. I mean, he was the talk of the town up there. Then let him run for president, let him win, and suddenly all these charges of racism come out.
Mm-hmm.
Pure hypocrisy.
This is a story about this African-American young lady here. The quote prop is she had a response too. Do you have her response, by the way, Steve?
Yeah, I think she said she says that she's not a prop. I think I saw it somewhere. I don't remember what her. Do you have her exact word?
Well, she tweeted. Her name is Lynn Patton, I guess. L Y N N E Patton. She said, "I'm highly educated. I'm not a racist. I'm not low info. I'm a professional. I'm not brainwashed. I'm not part of a cult. I don't live in a bunker. I hate political correctness." This African-American young lady. "I'm a leader, not a follower. I believe we need a big change. I don't blindly believe the liberal media. I'm tired of politicians who lie and cheat. I support Donald Trump." This young lady said Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, Patton, P-A-T-T-O-N, is her name. Anyway, well, good for her. To testify about something and then have a congresswoman say you're a prop,
That's a terrible insult.
What do you say, Ray?
It's a terrible insult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You hear the emotion in her voice?
So what you got is this woman. You could, who was it that said right there? You could say that's racist, right? What I'm saying is to say to an African American young lady who's there on her own, on her own behalf to testify, to say some things in defense of President Trump, and then for someone to assert to her in public, you know, basically you're a liar. What I'm saying is you could interpret that if you wanted to.
Because of her skin color.
Because of her skin color.
The whole criticism was based on her, the color of her skin.
Right. This woman's pretty articulate. I guess she was on Fox News. Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
Our friend David Leiden has been reporting again, and this time he has found a former Facebook employee that, when she left the company, brought some documents with her that are quite alarming. We don't know the name of the whistleblower, that he's kept that private, but basically this woman is talking about how Facebook is targeting and using artificial intelligence to figure out who is conservative and who doesn't align with their corporate values, and therefore they're, what the word is, de-boosting. It's basically, well, I'm going to let her explain kind of what this is.
Who are we about to hear?
Well, we're about to hear from David Leiden and this whistleblower who, the name, we don't know her name.
She formerly worked for Facebook.
She used to work for Facebook.
She's obviously anonymous for reasons.
Right.
For good reasons. And she's saying what happens inside the company.
She is showing, yes, she's saying she's got documents on her that prove that Facebook is throttling or demoting or de-boosting. I do believe her because I know of a bunch of people who say, you know, we used to have this big reach and now all of a sudden we don't. Listen to what she has to say.
When it says reduce live distribution, I'm not a programmer.
Right.
But I can read English just fine.
Mm-hmm.
When I see reduce live distribution, it means preventing the distribution of this live feed.
Deboosting is a method of suppressing distribution. This occurs because prompts such as share this video are disabled. Interactive notifications are also disabled. And the live feed boost associated with a live streaming video on Facebook is removed.
Where did you see this deboost language?
I would see it appear on several different conservative pages.
So basically what is happening is that they are getting a...
So she says,
she is claiming, and the documents that she brought out with her support,
right,
that when you do, in this case, a conservative group does a live stream, there's an AI bot or whatever that's listening in and transcribing it and looking for keywords.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a human's not even involved in this, but the keywords they're looking for are among hate and threatening content, which you would want to flag, but are a lot of words that conservatives tend to use. And it's flagging these, and then it automatically goes in and takes the tools out that help you distribute this video. It's called deboosting. And it's kind of the latest and probably strongest evidence that Facebook really has a bias and is looking at throttling conservative speech.
Yeah, this only leads to prove that what we've all thought to be true, but we never had anything to base it on, just our instinct. And, you know,
well, and people's experiences too, for being all these things that were shared.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I was going to get at. Is you have all these conservative groups who said, basically, sometime during the Obama administration, our Facebook page, our Twitter page, we were all growing at a pretty usual rate, just like everybody else. And then all of a sudden, our growth is stunted. And like everybody, not just...
That's happened to us.
Yes, right. That's happened to us.
It happened to Brian Fisher.
Exactly. So it's been documented on multiple occasions that this is happening. And so finally, we have someone that actually worked in Facebook, saw all the programming, saying basically what we knew all along.
And this is specifically an instance with live streaming, which a lot of groups do, pastors do. I have a pastor friend who does this and who's complained that he has been taken off the air often in the middle of a live stream and couldn't figure out why. This is apparently why.
Ray, what do you think about this?
Well, it's extremely frustrating. Steve is thinking about what you were saying. Number one, it's all done electronically. Number two, therefore, it's invisible. Number three, there is nothing on our end we can do about it, right? We have no way to fight back against this monopoly that is Facebook, except something like this woman coming out, and at least she's got the documents that appear to corroborate what we all know has been happening. It is extremely frustrating. And, you know, I know Facebook's a private company, but they're really more like a public utility. It's very chilling, in a way, to the exercise of free speech. It's only happening, really, on our side, on the conservative side.
Yeah, you know, a couple things about this. One is, I mentioned the other day on the show, I read a lengthy article over the week. Monday night, I guess it was. I'm not sure. Maybe it was Sunday night. I read a lengthy article about it was a company in Arizona that was outsourced to be a monitoring agency for Facebook. In other words, Facebook pays this company to have people sit and look at what's going on Facebook and decide whether to ban it or not, or to put the people in timeout who are on Facebook based on Facebook's policies, okay, about hate and violence and illegalities and things of that nature. And as I said earlier, I don't blame Facebook for doing that per se, because they don't want to be align themselves with child predators, for example, or allow that to go unpoliced. You know what I'm saying? There are certain are things that are illegal. So I understand the reason for doing that. But the story went on to talk about, it wasn't so much about their, it did talk some about their politics, the politics of Facebook, but it was talking about that all these monitors that were there in this location in Arizona, I forgot how many of them there, maybe 100 or so, maybe more, or maybe a couple hundred or more in this one location. I'm sure they have them around the world, these people. They were all in their 20s, and they said maybe a few in their early 30s. But my point was, basically the story I was reading was on the trauma that these monitors experience personally, having to see all this garbage every day, and how it impacted their psyche and their emotional health and well-being. That was the angle of the story that I was reading. But I was just thinking to myself, if all you've got is 20-year-olds, then the vast majority of them, those are millennials, they're going to subscribe to political correctness of the day. You couple that with Mark Zuckerberg being relatively young and the culture of Facebook, you can understand how this kind of thing would happen. The problem, one of the biggest problems I have with Facebook and these other big companies that are social media giants, a couple of things. One is I wish they would just tell the truth about what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? With these algorithms, with things that they're, because what you read stories about are people who say, I was reading stories last night, people say, well, you know, I use Facebook, and this is just individuals. They were saying, and back during the election, I would post things about, you know, fishing or look at my grandson or an animal picture, and everything's fine. I put stuff on there about President Trump in a positive way, and I noticed my numbers dropped to nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, y'all understand this better than I do, because I don't use Facebook very often. I don't have a personal account. But is that, Walker, what's called shadow banning. In other words, the people never know that their post,
right,
if that's what you call it, was never sent out to their list. Right. Is that right?
Yes, and that's what this employee, this former employee at Facebook, is expounding upon, is basically shadow banning.
It is a form of shadow banning.
It's a behind-the-scenes banning.
Except that when you're doing the live feed, if you look to notice, you can see that those tools are disabled and that the boost button is gone. So you at least you might not know why, and now you do, but those are things. The whole point about it, if they were just honest, I don't think that's quite enough. When you have a company like Facebook,
I agree with you,
that has been incredibly charged with interfering in an election, with being so huge that it can move
and privacy
voters
violations,
and privacy violations opinion. And HIPAA violations and all of these charges that come against it. It's not enough in my book to say, well, it's a private company. They can do what they wish. I just wish they were honest. I think there does need, at some point, it's coming, to be some kind of public utility type of oversight.
Where Facebook went wrong is when at one point they sat around the table and said, you know, not only we're gonna monitor and delete illegal content like child pornography, threatening someone physically, things like that, or running some kind of criminal scheme on Facebook, but we're gonna go outside of that realm and we're gonna start banning things we just don't like. That's where Facebook went wrong.
Right.
Well, I'm sitting here listening to the discussion, and Steve, I wish I felt encouraged at the end of all this, because Facebook acts as a world unto itself. And I'm thinking, well, they have 2.4 billion accounts around the world, almost like close to a third of the world's population is on Facebook. You wonder sometime if a company gets so big that they can't be policed by anybody, including our own government. I don't know.
And you got to be careful about that, too. Conservatives typically would say they don't like the idea of the federal government interfering in a private business and a private enterprise. However, there is precedent for this. As Steve, as you note here, I think Mobile is the telephone company, you know, when they had to break that up
because
it was a monopoly. Monopolies have typically been, you know, and the people on the left are looking at this, too. I don't know if you knew this, and I was reading a story about this the other day. People on the left, they don't particularly care that these social media giants are becoming monopolies, basically.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with this. I do think that there is some the shame effect does work to some extent. You see what happened with Diamond and Silk.
Right.
The supporters of President Trump, African-American women, they were banned. Also, what's frustrating for people is Facebook won't tell you exactly why you were banned.
So oftentimes. And they can take care of the more public, like Diamond and Silk, that everybody's making a big deal of, but it's a systemic problem.
I know.
Where a lot of, and the other thing that frustrates people about Facebook and some of these social media companies is that they seem more than willing to bend their own rules and comply with things when it's in a foreign country. Europe is, I mean, they're being, you know, saddled with billions of dollars of fines, but they'll restrict their own use in a Muslim country. They don't want to offend somebody there,
sure.
But they just don't seem to want to do it here.
Mm-hmm. The other day, we got our 1 Million Moms effort put a story up about these two homosexual men appearing on the cover of Parents magazine for the first time. That happened recently. Well, we put out an email about this. Mm-hmm. 1 Million Moms did. Or put it on Facebook, and Facebook
pulled it down.
Facebook pulled it down.
Yeah.
So that's considered against Facebook's policies to be critical of homosexuals.
Yes.
Right?
So and the only way to have the post or have your account restored is to remove the post.
Right. Did they put 1 million moms? They didn't ban 1 million moms
no,
on Facebook.
No, the post.
A particular post.
Yeah, but at times, not with 1 million miles, but with other conservatives, they'll lock the account up until you comply with their demands.
1 million moms is on a list now. If they continue to do things, they're likely
to. So anything critical of homosexuality is considered a no-no with Facebook.
Yes.
Is what we're getting. Hey, Ray, thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Tim.
Steve?
My pleasure.
Thank you for your contributions. And Walker and Brent. Brent's our producer. Okay, Trivia Friday tomorrow here, folks. We'll see you back here then. Take care, everybody.